He plays piano also. I mean, Bill, we got just got people playing stuff. It's amazing. And it's a gift that God has given you. And so I want you to turn with me to James chapter 4. And I want to share with you tonight a little bit more about our speech. That's what James gets back to here. We kind of circle back around. We've looked at how we're to use our tongue in our speech, how it should lift people up and not, you know, bring people down. And so tonight, really, we're talking about how not to speak and talking about this issue of criticizing and slandering, which is so prevalent in our world. I mean, everywhere from the places you work with your coworkers and bosses, you know, within families. I mean, there's negative speech and speech that's aimed to pull people down, to tear people down, to slander them, to criticize them. And unfortunately, there's an issue James is running into here in the first century where he's having to send this letter to churches because people in the church, they're attacking one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, with the words that they're using. And so we've been in this discussion before, so I hope you have your Bible. We're going to flip a few places here in James and then maybe even some other places as well. I just want to kind of give you some of the context because we got to notice James circles back around again to how we speak. If you'll flip back to chapter 1, verse 26, it says, if anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless and deceives himself. It's a strong word there. Chapter 3, I'm going to start reading in verse 6 of chapter 3 and read down a few verses. But this verses 1 through 12 is all about controlling the tongue. And in verse 6 it says, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who were made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. And then if we'll read here in James chapter 4 now, our text for tonight, starting in verse 11, the Word of God says, don't criticize one another, brothers and sisters. Anyone who defames or judges a fellow believer defames and judges the law. If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor? And so we have here James talking about this issue related to slandering, to criticizing one another, to speak evil against someone. That's what it says here in verse 11. Don't criticize one another. Of course, he's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God, children of God. And there's an issue with that here in this letter. And so what does it mean to criticize? What it means to speak evil against or to slander? Slandering is malicious words that are intended to harm a person and their reputation. And so we're reminded that the world may talk that way. The world may operate that way. The world may try to slander someone or come against someone in a negative way to try to push them down, to lift themselves up. And this, we're going to see this whole discussion is also in chapter 4 all about pride and humility. All of this kind of comes together here. That in human pride, in worldly pride, prideful people will try to push other people down because they think it lifts them up. And we see time and time again what God says is be humble, be lowly, and God will lift you up. Okay? And so to slander, that's malicious words intended to harm a person or to harm their reputation. Slandering and having a critical spirit, and I want you to hear this, is nothing short than a demonic type of activity, okay? To slander and to have that critical spirit, that does not come from heaven. That does not come from God. No, that comes from being in the flesh. That comes, in fact, even from the devil himself. Devil, we see that Satan, the enemy, the evil one, we see he is also called the devil. And the word devil comes from a Greek word which is translated to slander. So we know one of the things that the devil does is he's the slanderer. He's the accuser, all right? The devil is a liar, and he's the father of lies. And so when we think about that, we can remember that what the devil does is he tries to twist truth. That's what he does. The devil tries to divide people. The devil tries to cause conflict. And the devil, one of the things he does is he accuses Christians. He accuses brothers and sisters before God. So he goes before God and he accuses us before him. And so he is the accuser. Now, why would brothers and sisters in Christ slander one another? Why would we slander one another? Why would the people in James' day, here in the first century, slander one another in the church? Well, I mentioned it a moment ago. I believe it can all be traced back to pride. I think that's what we see here in this passage of Scripture, is there's pride and there's temptation and there is sin. This chapter 4 has been really a long discussion about pride. Okay, about pride and humility. Go back and flip back to chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, "What is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you?" All right, skip down to verse 6. It says, "But he gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And so God's reminding us in this text that what he calls us to as brothers and sisters in Christ is humility. Humility. To be humble, to be lowly, to not be puffed up in pride, not be puffed up in arrogance, but to be humble before God and to be humble among one another. Okay? And so he says, listen, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you go on in chapter 4 and look at verse 10, he says, the verse right before verse 11, right before what we read, he says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. That's what it says. And so I believe a lot of what causes people to slander, to be critical to one another, is the pride that is within us, the sinful pride and the temptation of our pride in our life. And so because of this, we need to remember that to help us in our speech, to help us lift people up rather than tear people down, we need to walk humbly before God. We need to have an attitude of humility before one another. Okay? And sometimes we do things and we do something wrong, and when we have done something wrong, sometimes we just double down and double down and triple down. Well, that's the opposite of humility. Humility would say, all right, I apologize, or I was wrong, or I'm going to be humble in this, okay? But oftentimes what can happen is things can get worse because people keep going back and forth and being critical of one another. And so we see here humility is the answer for us, being humble before God. I want you to notice that a humble believer is not a judge of other people. A humble believer is not a judge of other people, but no, instead, a humble believer loves other people. Look at what he says here in verse 11. He says, once again, don't criticize one another, brothers and sisters. Anyone who defames or judges a fellow believer defames and judges the law. If you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. What he says here is the person who slanders and criticizes brothers and sisters in Christ, what God is saying here is that person has become a judge of the law. I mean, it's as clear as that. It's what he says. He becomes a judge of the law and not a doer of the law. What has God called us to as Christians? Well, he's called us to fulfill the law. And what has God told us all throughout the New Testament that the law is he's called us to fulfill? Jesus has told us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And he says, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so that's the law that it's referring to here in James. That what God has called us to is to love God, and then we're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ the way that we love ourselves. We're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's what God has called us to, but when we slander and judge and are critical, what we are doing is we are exalting ourselves over the law of God. We're saying that law of God doesn't apply to us. We're saying, hey, I'm going to exalt myself over this law. I'm not going to be obedient to God in this law. I'm not going to fulfill this law that God has said to love him and to love others. And so he says you become a judge of the law. And in verse 11, you are not a doer of a law, but a judge of it. I want you to, if you want to turn with me, you can. I'm going to turn to Proverbs 10, and then after that, I'm going to go to 1 Peter, which is one book over from James, okay? And so I'm going to go to Proverbs 10, and I want to read one of these great proverbs we have. Proverbs 10. I'm going to read verse 12, and then I'm going to read verse 11. But verse 12 says, Proverbs 10, verse 12, hatred stirs up conflicts, okay? Hatred stirs up conflicts, but love covers all offenses. What's God calling us to? Love. And when we love the way God has called us to love, that love covers all offenses. Verse 11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. We've talked about this before, but, you know, the tongue can either really bring life to somebody or it can bring death to somebody. It can lift someone up or it can push someone down. What God calls us to is to love and to care for one another and to speak to one another in a loving way and not to slander one another. It says here in 1 Peter chapter 4, so I told you I was going there, so don't be like, man, he's jumping all over the place. I told you we were going to go Proverbs to 1 Peter 4, but I want to read this to you as well. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. So I think what God does is he reminds us time and time and time and time again in Scripture. Number one, how much he loves you and me. God loves you. God loves me. We love God Because he first loved us. I mean, while we were malicious to God, while we were cursing God, while we were an enemy to God, we were just going against him. We cared nothing about him. In the middle of all of that, here's what God did. He said, you can't make me stop loving you. I love you. And I love you so much that I'm sending my son, and he's going to die on the cross for you. That's how much God loves us. And then he reminds us that because of his love that he has given us, that we should be people that love one another and that love the way that God loves us. It says love here, maintain constant love for one another as love covers a multitude of sins. Now, so we see that a humble believer is not a judge, but loves. And the last thing I want us to see is a humble believer trusts. He trusts Jesus. He trusts the true judge. There's only one judge, and it's not any one of us in this room. Okay? God is judge. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Almighty Judge. And he says here in verse 12, he reminds us there is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor? Jesus, he is the lawgiver. God's the lawgiver. He has all right and he has all authority to give us the law. He sets the rules. He gives the law. He gives the commands. He tells us how it is, how it's going to be, how it's supposed to be, and how we are to live. We don't have a say in any of that. None of us do. He has all authority. He alone is God. He alone has the right, and he gives us the law. So let's not forget about the fact that this book is God's book that he's given to us. This is his word with his authority. And so we don't debate about it. It's not like something for us to, you know, say, well, I like this part or I don't like that part or, you know, I don't like that God says this in this area and I'm just going to ignore it. No, God is the one who gives the law. He has given it. It's settled. It's done. So we got to take John 3:16 as John 3:16 is, and we got to take James 4 as James 4 is, because it is God's word. And so he gives this to us, and he reminds us there's one lawgiver, and it's the Lord God. And so we got to take seriously what he says. He has all authority also to enforce his law. And so his law is not a suggestion, is it? No. Today I was driving down the road and I passed a Floyd County police officer and I thought, oh, I wasn't going too fast. And thankfully I wasn't. Or he wasn't clocking me or something, you know. And so I was like, okay. And I thought, man, I hope I don't ever get pulled over in Floyd County. And the bottom line is if you find yourself in that situation or if I find myself in that situation, guess what? You know, when that police officer comes to the car, right, he has the authority to enforce the law, right? He can enforce the law. And if I break the law, if you break the law, it's not up to us to say, well, no, you can't enforce that on me. No, we can't do that, right? And that's the same is true here in God's word. Listen, God's law is not up for us to, you know, debate about and to say, well, I'm going to follow this, but I'm not going to follow that. No, the Lord has the authority to enforce that law. So we need to be obedient to him in that area. Our our responsibility is not to try to decide what we should follow and what we shouldn't, you know, what our responsibility is to simply live according to the law that God has given us. That's our responsibility, to live by it. And once again, what is that law that James is referring to? I'm thankful God made it simple in this situation for us. Love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love one another as we love ourselves. And love our neighbor as we love ourselves. If we will love God as we should, and if we will actually care and love for one another, all right, we're going to be on the right track. That's what God is calling us to here. The last thing we are reminded of here is he says, not only is he their one lawgiver, but there's also one judge. And so we know that. He is judge. God is judge. And so we need to understand we're not judge. We're not the judge. He is. And so we are not, we don't have that right. We don't have that authority. He has that right. He has that authority. I just want to close by reading James chapter 2, verse 13 to you. And this is where we're going to close at. And it's amazing how in these two verses here of James chapter 4, so much of it I have found was connected throughout this entire book of James. And so right here in verse 13 of chapter 2, the Word of God says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has not shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." What a wonderful and encouraging word to us. God calls us to be merciful to one another. That mercy triumphs over judgment. Oh, and by the way, the judgment, right? For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no judgment, right? And so I want to treat people the way, you know, people would want to, I would want somebody to treat me, right? Like, I think that's sort of, well, you know, what that's getting at here is the judgment that we judge somebody in is the same judgment that we're going to be judged by. And so he says here, mercy triumphs over judgment. I'm just thankful tonight that we have a God of grace and mercy. Starting with me and including everyone else, we've all have failed. I have failed time and time again. And time again, God has shown me grace and mercy. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it, but he gave it. And I know the same is true in your life. God has shown you grace. He has shown you mercy. He has been patient with us. He's been long-suffering with us, loving us to himself. So I just want to encourage you tonight to say, listen, let's focus on loving one another and using our speech to not criticize or slander, but to love and to build up and to lift up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. And Lord, continue to create in us a heart that loves you more and more deeply. And God, as we love you, Lord, may the fruit of the Spirit of God, which is love, may it bear in our lives. May it be produced, and may we May we genuinely love and care for our brothers and sisters in Christ and care for people we come in contact with, and to love them, not with a love of the flesh, not as the world loves. God, we understand the world only loves those who can give them something, who can do something for them, and if not, they could care less, God. But you call us to just simply love one another and care for people with no strings attached. So God, help us to do that. May we be a people, may we be a church, and may we be a people that the outside world wants to come and be a part of what's happening here because of the love that they see in this place. The love that's in our lives as we go forth from this place. God, we love you tonight, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.